Our God is a loving Father, and when He instituted the Passover, it was to break the power of Pharaoh and all of his Egyptian warlords and all of their occult ways. Even today, if you were to study the occult, you'd find that they go to Egypt, Egyptology, mummies, the hidden secrets, etc., etc. And of course, great claims are made. When our Savior was commissioned of the Father to come into this realm and to live as a man, to be born of a woman, He would do this in obedience to His Father. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 1, you'd find that Jeremiah was chosen, called a prophet to the nations before he entered his mother's womb. If you go to Peter, James, and John, chosen by God to do a work for the Father. Moses should have been killed. His mother, defiant to the law. His father and his family hid him and then released him, of all places, in the river. When he realized that he had been called by God, he realized it intellectually in his mind, that he was the chosen vessel. But he ran ahead of God. Now, of course, I've never done that. You never have either. But I've repented quite a few times because I did run ahead of God. And I may have to do it again because I have still some of this flesh on me. It does get me into trouble periodically. I confess that to you and those who are listening. But I've also learned, like Moses had to go back, even after he killed. And went into the desert for 40 years. 40 years of hardship, raising a family. And probably had commissioned himself unacceptable by God. How could he be the deliverer if he was a murderer? I don't believe for one moment that Satan was taking a nap for those 80 years that Moses was being prepared. Satan was not taking a nap when Jesus was being prepared. I don't think he's taking a nap when you were being prepared. You see, there's enough in the scriptures of the failures of the saints that came before us in the Old Testament as well as in the New to give us an understanding that they all started off with problems. Self-rejection. How could I be used? There's a lot wrong with me. You relate, Bob? Your first name? Paul. Oh, I like it. That was my dad's name. My dad, whenever he would be partying, he would always call himself St. Paul. He'd say, you know, I'm St. Paul, in case you're wondering who I am. He became a saint before he went home to be with Jesus, but for a few years before that, it was not a Holy Ghost saint anyway. When God begins a work in us, and he begins to draw us towards himself, there's a pull in every one of our hearts, and there's a lying spirit that operates, trying to tell us we're not acceptable, we're not qualified. We might even be murderers in our own eyes. But you see, God didn't have a problem with Paul, even though he was a murderer in his heart. He wanted those Christians out of the way, and he got paperwork, a legal status, put him in jail. And we don't know how many were killed because of his anger at those who were not the right kind of believers. We have the same thing happening in the church today. Many are calling themselves the chosen. And I could give you denominational names for an hour, and we probably wouldn't cover all of them. We'd probably cover a few. It's got to stop. The wars from within. It's got to stop. And it has to stop within you. It has to stop within me. The body of Christ is to be one. And it will be one in spite of the flesh. This afternoon, I was pressed to go to Corinthians, so if you have your Bible, I'd like you to take a little skip over to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm in the Amplified. So we'll start with 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he who has fashioned us, in parentheses it says, preparing and making us fit. I love that part. For this very thing is God, who also has given us his Holy Spirit as a guarantee of the fulfillment of his promise. He who has fashioned us, preparing and making us fit. For this very thing is God, who has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. Isn't that cool? Now, he's fashioning us, he's preparing us, he's making us fit to be servants. Are you going to feel fit? Are you going to feel acceptable? If we go back to Moses, we can remember when he was finally ready, he didn't want to do it. He couldn't talk all of a sudden. He had no leadership capacity in his own eyes at that point. Why? Because he had been crushed. I can remember, I would say about 3.5 years of the Holy Spirit working on me, pushing my buttons, telling me that my time as a furniture dealer was going to be terminated, and that he was going to sell my business. And if you think I was going to tell anybody about that, you would have had 30 heads and it wouldn't have been enough. I had every good reason not to believe that I could be used by God to do But about a year later, or a year and a half later, I spoke some of those words to my wife, and she thought I had three heads, maybe 30, I don't know. And how could this possibly be? So she sounded quite a bit like Mary. How could this be? What are we going to do? We had already made a covenant with the Lord. We would obey. But it was to obey with certain conditions. And you know what I'm talking about. Up to a point. Up to a rational point. Can you guys relate? Okay. Up to so far and no more. Sound like Peter? After all, how could he be so silly as to let himself be caught? Every other time, he was just an escape artist. Verse 6. So then, we are always full of good and hopeful and confident courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are abroad from the home with the Lord that is promised to us. For we walk by faith. That is, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our convictions or beliefs, respecting man's relationship to God, and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk not by sight or appearance. Yes, we have confidence and hopeful courage and well pleased rather to be always from away from home, out of the body, and be at home with the Lord. In other words, if he was to take me out of this earth suit right now, I would be totally, totally content. But is that his plan? No. He wants to bring heaven down inside of me so that it can touch you and touch you, and heaven inside of you can touch each other. That was the whole purpose of God. Now, it took him 80 years to get Moses to just begin to be humble enough to be used. How long did it take for Paul? We're not sure of the numbers. But we know that when he wrote this letter, he was aware. He was a different person. He wasn't the guy who was full of anger. He wasn't the guy with the paperwork to put people away. He was the guy who had been anointed of the Father to release the good news, and he knew it. Verse 10. For we must all appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive according to what he has done in the body, whether good or evil, considering what his purpose and motives has been, and what he has achieved, been busy with, and given himself to, and his attention to accomplish. Therefore, being conscious of fearing the Lord with respect and reverence, we seek to win people over, to persuade them. But what sort of persons we are is plainly recognized and thoroughly understood by God. And I hope that it is plainly recognized and thoroughly understood also by your conscience, that is, by your inborn discernment. Now, I want you to kind of put a circle around your inborn discernment. Because if you really understand that this inner ability of your spirit capacity, this inside ability to discern, is so much stronger than your little brains, because our brains are skinny, in case you don't, you know, We all have skinny brains. We have a huge spirit, but we have a very, very small mind. And only a percentage of it works. It wasn't always that way. Adam and Eve were not as restricted as we are. But it says very, very clearly, by God. If you go back, but what sort of persons we are is plainly recognized and thoroughly understood by God. And I hope that it is plainly recognized and thoroughly understood also by your conscience. That is, by your inborn discernment. Your conscience is really a part of your spirit man. It is a spirit capacity. It is not something you learn. It is something that you have within you as a gift from the Father. And it can be developed, or it can just stay put. You can shut down your conscience. You can sear your conscience. You can literally burn it up by inner vows. How many have ever gotten a fit of anger and said, I'll never, blankety blank, blank, blank. What have you done? You just sealed your future in that area. Whatever you bind on earth, you will what? Bind in heaven. Okay. Whatever you loose on earth, release. Whatever you loose will be loosed in heaven. Matthew 18:18. So you have the ability to either release yourself into obedience with Christ, have the anointing to do that which he has declared is capable of being done by you as a believer in the body of Christ, or you can seal yourself away and say like Moses, sorry, I don't know how to talk right. To show you had God had any understanding of this man, plainly recognized and understood, right? God says to him, your brother's already on the way. He'll talk for you. As if he really needed him. But he needed what?
Confidence.
He needed a support system. God wasn't going to leave him alone. Jesus, when he sent them out two
by two.
He says, whenever two or three are gathered in my name, I am. Why? Because there's a need for the harmony to come. And, verse 12, we are not commending ourselves to you again, but we are providing you with an occasion, an incentive to be rightfully proud of us, so that you may have a reply for those who pride themselves on surface appearance, on virtues they only appear to have, although their hearts is devoid of them. So what is he saying? I've already seen these false people. Their appearance is very good, but are they really of the Lord? How many of you have ever listened to a program or heard a tape or a cassette or a CD or listened and or read a book or whatever, and you get a percentage of it away and you know inside, shut this thing, this is not God. How many know what I'm talking about? You just know. Now, you haven't gotten any report from heaven that says, but it's what? Your discernment. Your inborn discernment, which is your spirit attribute, is saying, shut this thing down. This is not God. This is not on target with the word. And you know that you know that it, you just got to shut it down. But, verse 13, for if we are being besides ourselves, it is for God and concern him. If we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. In other words, they were being criticized. Paul was being criticized. The churches of the living God were being criticized at that time. And he's writing to them, and he's saying, wake up, Corinthians. There's some people that are criticizing us, and they're telling you that we have lost our right mind. Verse 14. For the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us, because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all have died. So when Christ died for all of us, Paul is reminding us we also died. So if we fight back, what are we doing? Are we dead when we're fighting back? No, we got to let it go. And that's what he's trying to let him go. Verse 15. And he died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, self-defense, but to and for him who died and was raised again for our sake and their sake. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards. That's 2008, by the way. And of value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. So what is he saying? We've developed our spiritual discernment. We've developed our spiritual senses. We've developed our spiritual ears, our spiritual eyes, and we have a knowing on the interior what is of God and what isn't. So he's telling them, you've got the equipment. You've already got it inside of you. Now, you will have war. You will have definitely some, you know, arguments from your mind. How many have ever had arguments from their mind? Okay. So, you don't know a person from a human point of view. You're going to go by the flesh, you're going to fall. Verse 17. Therefore, if any person is in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creature altogether, a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Now, if you're constantly looking at your abilities in the natural to complete what your spirit man is going to be able to do, you're going to fail. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says you're made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit came into your body when God released it from the heavens. He knew you before you were born. Those abilities that are in your spirit are to grow just like your natural man grew. You're not a baby anymore. You're not crawling. Okay? You're all walking. You're all capable of doing that. I have a little great-granddaughter who just turned a year old, and she walks around like this. And she's got her hands out like they're, you know, balancing so that she doesn't fall. And if she does fall, she doesn't have the energy yet to be able to get herself up off the floor. She needs a helping hand. So she'll sit there and she'll cry till either somebody comes over or she gets herself to crawl to the next chair to grab a leg or something to get herself up. And I'm thinking to myself the other night, and I'm watching her walk from one place to the other, and she falls, and she's upset. And I said, oh boy, Lord, she is just like me. I can see just like me. I need that other person to come and help me sometimes spiritually to get me back up. Okay? And God was teaching me. Okay? My spirit man needs the other people. I need. There's nothing wrong to have a need. Okay? You're not going to be able to do it alone. Okay? 18. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. A ministry of reconciliation means it's on you daily, everywhere you are, everywhere you go, with everyone you speak. That by words and deeds, we might aim to bring others into harmony with God. Words and deeds. Several weeks ago, I was at the YMCA. I was doing my exercises, and I've got this young man that's doing some exercises, and I walked by him and I said, you're making people jealous, because he's very handsome and he's muscular and he's doing his exercises, and it's not a hard job at all for him. And of course for me, I'm pushing to get it done. Okay? So he giggled, and I went around the circle one more time, and I learned later on that his name is David. and he's a pastor's son. And we ended up getting together and talking about the Lord and so on and so forth. And I teased him a couple of times more about, you know, making people jealous, because I says, you know, you look like you're doing all this stuff and it's so easy for you, and us older folks, you know, we have to push twice as hard. But you see, out of a little moment of joy and teasing him and him teasing me back, we've gotten to know that God has a purpose for us. And we went out to lunch last week, and we're going out to lunch again tomorrow. And he's all excited because he's learning things about the Lord that I know are inside of me, that I'm a part of the body that's supplying something in him that is needed right now. And so this morning when we connected for a few minutes, he's all giggly and he says, oh, I can't wait. He says, are we definitely going to go again? And I said, well, it's up to you. And so we made the decision that we're going out tomorrow. But what I'm getting at is every one of you, no matter where you're ministering, no matter where you're working, no matter what you're doing, there's people around you. There's people that you can touch, maybe tease them a little, maybe wake something up, maybe give them a word of encouragement, maybe making them aware that, yes, you know, they're great at something and maybe you're still struggling with it, and build them up. Give them a word of courage. Give them a word of encouragement. Give them something that you've got. Or maybe something that you need. And they might be as miserable as the day is long. But that doesn't make any difference. Somebody had to wake you and me up with a word and an encouraging thought. And maybe just a smile. We had a get together at my home on Sunday. And one of my nieces is involved now with a new young man, and her mom and dad came to visit after we had our dinner. They were not coming for the dinner. Her mother is 94 years old, and she took her out for a dinner, and then they decided to come and join their son, which was our house. And she came in with two baskets, one for my wife and one for my wife's cousin, who had helped to put the dinner together. And the baskets were filled with all kinds of fancy cookies that she had made, and all wrapped up nicely with a bow on top, you know. And the girls, my wife and her cousin, after the lady and her husband left and their family, they're all excited about the gift. This gift of sweets was such an impact. She didn't have to do this. They weren't invited for dinner. But they did something very practical, very exciting. And yesterday we opened up this basket of goodies and we had the goodies for a snack. And all of us said how nice this was, that it was a nice gift. It was a nice gesture. Can you and I do the same? Can you and I be an instrument to bring a little bit of joy in somebody's life? You might ask the Lord, am I supposed to do something? I can remember when I used to make a couple of trips a year to New York, and if I didn't come home with a gift with each one of the kids, there was a major problem. And after many years of doing this, if I missed out, believe me, I would hear about it. Because if I didn't come home with something special, because it was always something special. And so that was my nature, to give. If you haven't got it, ask God to receive it and release it to you. He's full of favor. He's full of mercy. He's full of love for each of you. But remember now, the ministry of reconciliation is not just for you to be reconciled to God. It's for others to taste of what you've got.